Well, good evening, friends in Radio Land. You're listening again to another broadcast of the old-fashioned Revival Hour, and I'm going to ask everybody across the network to praise especially for tonight's broadcast, because we're broadcasting under great difficulty here in Los Angeles. The power is off on one of the stations, and we're trying to bridge across, and if it doesn't come in just the very best, why, you just overlook it and pray that the power may come on here in the studio so that we can have the regular broadcast very soon. And now we're here in semi-darkness in the studio, and I don't know whether the quartet and the chorus can see all the notes and the words, but we're going to try to have the chorus sing it this time, Beulah Land. All right, Rudy, go ahead.
I greet the land of corn and wine, and all its riches freely mine. Here's time and in a wonderful day, all of my life has passed away. Oh, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land, as on the highest mount I stand, I look away across the sea, where mountains are prepared for me. I feel the shining glory shore. I have my home forevermore. My Savior comes and walks with me, and sweet communion here have we. He can't believe me by the hand, for this is heaven for the land. Oh, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land, as on the highest mount I stand, I look where mansions are prepared for me, and view the shining glory shore, my home, my home forevermore. On sweet perfume upon the breeze is born forever, bright and free, and for the never fading glow, where dreams of life forever flow. Oh, view the land, sweet view the land. Earth on the highest mountain stand, I look away across the sea, where mansions are prepared for me, and view the shining glory shore, my and my home forevermore.
Well, I think that went across nicely, don't you? And for the benefit of those who've tuned in just a little bit late, we're broadcasting under difficulties here tonight. Southern California's had quite a windstorm, and some of the power lines are down, and we're bridging across from the studio here, and we trust that all of you will be able to hear it, other than perhaps many here in Southern California. Now, let's see. Quartet, what can you do? Softly and tenderly? All right. Try it with the best of the light possible. All right.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home.
Come home.
Come home.
Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Oh, for the wonderful love he hath promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy pardon for you and for me. Come home,
come home.
That's the message of the gospel, for Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I'm going to ask every member of the body of Christ all across the remaining portion of the network to just bow your head in prayer tonight and ask God to undertake for this broadcast and clear up the situation here in Southern California, that we may go into the homes of hundreds of thousands that are eagerly waiting for the old-fashioned revival hour. Let's bow our heads in prayer, and every Christian pray. Our Father, thou hast said in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to thy purpose. And so we rest tonight in the precious promises that all things do work together for good. And we pray that the prince of the power of the air and those things that are hindering may be put to rot tonight and put back and baffled, and that this situation may clear up here quickly, and that the broadcast may go on unhindered and unhampered. We know that we're in a conflict, for we're not wrestling against principalities or against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. This is a spiritual warfare, and so we pray now in Jesus' name to undertake, and we'll give thee all the glory, for we ask it in thy name and for thy sake. Amen. And now, chorus choir, can you sing that next number in Christ Liveth in Me? All right, go right ahead. If you miss a note or two, why, we won't say a word. You could see us here tonight, friends in Radio Land. Well, no, you can't see us. That's all right. We have about three flashlights here in the studio, and we're bumping in one to another here. I'm having a great time. Well, anyway, here we are broadcasting the old-fashioned revival hour, and happy in the Lord. There you are, seated in your home, comfortable and nice with the lights on. Anyway, all right, we're having a good time, aren't we? All right, and I just tell you that souls are going to be saved tonight. Now, let me see. Where are my announcements here? Oh, here they are. Now, next Sunday, Lord willing, the old-fashioned revival hour will celebrate its fifth birthday. Personally, I've been broadcasting 12 years or more over many stations here in Southern California, but the old-fashioned revival hour is only 5 years old. That is, next Sunday night. And we've grown from one station to 152 outlets next Sunday, Lord willing. Now, God has said he would do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And so we give him the glory. Be sure and tune in next Sunday and fellowship with us on our fifth birthday. Hundreds and thousands of new listeners, and we want you to pray for a great revival fire. Now, in response to hundreds of requests, we plan soon to give another prophetic message on present-day European events in the light of prophecy. And so, 3 weeks from tonight, remember, 3 weeks from tonight, the subject will be the revival of the old Roman Empire or the coming alliance of England, France, and Italy into the Western Confederation, all prophesied in God's Word some 2,500 years ago, just as it was prophesied of the recent alliance of Germany and Russia. And so remember, 3 weeks from tonight. Now tell all your friends, spread the news far and wide, and everybody plan to be with us on his or her radio to hear what God's Word has to say regarding this. And now, quartet, let me see. Sing Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow.
Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me.
Friends, in order that your friends may know where and when to find the old-fashioned revival hour on the air, send for our new radio logs listing all the radio outlets. Order as many as you can use, and don't fail, write tonight and send in for them, and then when you receive them, send them out to your friends, and be especially ready for the broadcast, say, 3 weeks from tonight on the prophetic message. And now, just before the chorus choir sings, I'm going to ask a special favor of you folks in Radioland tonight, because we're broadcasting under difficulty. And that's this. A good part of our audience is cut off, or some part of our audience is cut off tonight. And it's going to make it extremely difficult for us to carry on this week. And so I'm asking you all across the network, wherever you may be, and wherever you're listening in, to stand by us this week, especially with your gifts. Because it'll be necessary for us to take the enlarged hookup next Sunday night, and it's a very critical time with us. Now, the old-fashioned revival hour is carried on through the summer with hundreds of conversions resulting, and not one radio station was deleted. In fact, 4 new radio stations were added to our list. Surely, God's word is true when he said, as I said a moment ago, do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And this work of preaching the gospel goes on from week to week as you, dear friends in radio, send in your gifts and make it possible. If you fail, naturally, we cannot go on here. And so please remember our mailing address is Charles E. Fuller, Post Office Box 123, Los Angeles, California. And this is a critical week because we're broadcasting tonight under difficult circumstances, and it means much if we lose one broadcast. Now, chorus choir, can you sing Whiter Than Snow? All right, Rudy, go right ahead.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast off every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Mrs. Fuller's going to read to you from some of the letters if I can find her here in the studio. Where are you, honey? Here, come on.
Right here.
All right, come on.
Well, good evening, friends. You would have smiled tonight if you could have seen some people holding lighted matches over the songbooks as the chorus was trying to sing. I hope there weren't any burned fingers. Now we have a little more light. But we prayed earnestly before we went on the air, and I've just been confident that God would undertake and that these things are wrong would be fixed, and before Mr. Fuller gives the message, I do hope that every station will be hearing. It's been so very warm this week, and I didn't go up to the office to have these letters typed. Many of them are in pencil, but I'm going to try to read them to you. Dear Mr. Fuller, my cousin was saved by Brother Fuller's broadcast last Sunday night. Thank God, we are so happy, and I would like to have you send her the heart-to-heart talk, please. Here is a good letter from San Francisco. Dear Mr. Fuller, I was talking to a young man who told me he found the Lord through hearing your message over the radio. While staying home to take care of his brothers and sisters, he would turn on the radio, and now he's saved and is a lieutenant in the Salvation Army and letting his light shine that others may see his good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. He praises God daily for the old-fashioned revival hour, so that for carrying the gospel into the homes where people can hear though they cannot get out to church. A letter from Arizona, dear Mr. Fuller. I have listened to your broadcast for quite a while. You don't know how much I appreciate it. It would gladden your heart to see the way the Indian boys love to listen to the program, especially the singing. A physician on Park Avenue in New York City writes, Dear Mr. Fuller, we truly thank God for the old-fashioned revival hour, which we've been hearing over the radio for the past few weeks. I found it one Sunday evening quite by accident. But believe me, it's no accident that we come back to it each Sunday evening now. I noted your announcement of a new hookup for the future and believe it is a distinct recognition by the business world of the need for the Christian religion and what Christ can give us all. Well, this broadcast doesn't have anything to do with the business world. The business world isn't back of it in any way, but God is, and the Christian people who love to get the gospel out. And then I'll read you this last letter. Dear Mr. Fuller, I have been much interested in hearing Mrs. Fuller read the letters each Sunday evening. There have been several from others like myself suffering from tuberculosis, and one wrote of being in bed 13 years. 3 years, nearly, in bed has been almost unbearable to me. I am still a young man, and life holds out attractions for me, but I know I'm not going to get well. This is what I want to say to you. I have listened to your hour for many months, and I tell you, it has helped me more than any other one thing in my crisis. I have listened to your preaching and have accepted Christ as my Savior because of it. It is a wonderful experience to know Him as your friend and constant companion. I have had several severe hemorrhages in the past and have feared death would come to me during one of them. Now it is very strange. All fear of death is gone. I have peace, which truly is past understanding. I love to read the Word of God, though I have little strength. My life is in His hands. I am ready for anything He sends. I look forward all week to your broadcast, and I hate to see the time slip by. May God bless you and continue to use you. I can't send a cent, for I have no near relatives, and am unable to even sit up in bed. But I can and do pray for you. I'll meet you in that better land and be able to really tell you how thankful I am for the hour, yours in Him. And that is all for tonight, friends.
My days are gliding swiftly by, and I, a pilgrim stranger, would not detain them as they fly. These halls of toil and danger, for now we stand on Jordan's strand, our friends are passing over, and just before the shining shore we may almost discover. Let sorrow's rudest tempest blow, each cord on earth to sever. Our King says come, and there's our home forever and forever. For now we stand on Jordan's strand, our friends are passing over, and just before the shining shore we may almost discover.
You know, God's word says, beloved, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Isn't it wonderful to have that hope that someday we will meet together on the shining shore? And just before we come to the message in a few minutes, I do want to lay it upon your hearts, friends, in reference to your gifts. This is a most trying week we've had, and then broadcasting tonight under trying circumstances, and I'm just asking you in this crisis hour to stand by this week, perhaps as you've never done before. Won't you do that, please? And remember, our mailing address is Charles E. Fuller, Post Office Box 123, Los Angeles, California. And now, chorus choir, will you sing Jesus? No, I tell you, sing Take Time to Be Holy, please. That's the number I want you to sing at this time. Song that the chorus have been singing, and I'm going to have them sing a couple more verses just in a moment. But you know, that's the trouble with us today in this rush age. We do not take time to sit at His feet. And you know, Mary did the best thing. She sat at His feet and listened to his voice and learned from Him. And you know, God's word says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. And then you go on, read that first psalm about how he'll bring forth his fruit in this season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Listen to me, friend. Perhaps you've been baffled and hindered on all sides. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take time to be holy. And just remember, God is on the throne, and he wants you to come into relationship with the Father through him, and then to walk in communion and fellowship with him, and to have that blessed hope that someday you'll see him. Chorus choir, sing a couple more verses of that wonderful song, and pray with us, friends in Radio Land, as they're singing. Feel that there are hundreds of new people listening in tonight that is new to this program. You're listening to the Old Fashioned Revival Hour, which is a faith work, preaching the gospel out over this large coverage, coast to coast. We're not sponsored or endowed, but to go as God makes it possible. I'll have more to say about that next Sunday night. But just before I bring the message, I want the quartet to sing Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. It's a wonderful thing to be in Christ Jesus, and to know that this Rock of Ages was smitten for you, and that if you're on this rock, the one foundation, no matter whether the earth be moved, the islands be moved out of their place, and the mountains cast into the sea, you're safe in Christ Jesus. Listen to two verses of Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood run.
And now may we take our Bibles tonight and turn to the 13th chapter of Jeremiah, verse 23. I'm preaching under difficulties. I have, let me see. Oh, boy, wait a minute here. All right. Three flashlights around me and one candlelight. My, it's too bad we haven't got television tonight so he could see what's going on. But we're having a good time, and now you pray with us as we bring the message on, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leper his spots? Then may he also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Now, our evangelistic message tonight will be based upon that 13th chapter, verse 23. Jeremiah was a great prophet, called to the prophetic office by a vision. And at the time that he was called to this office, he was a young man, and he felt his immaturity and inexperience and inability to speak to men. But Jehovah reached out one day, reached out his hand and touched Jeremiah's mouth, putting into it the words that he wanted him to speak. And it's marvelous how Jeremiah, as a flaming fire, went over the land of Israel proclaiming God's word. And God set him over nations and kingdoms at that time. But he met with violent opposition during his 40 or 41 years of testimony. But in spite of all the persecution, he remained faithful to the prophetic office and proclaiming God's word. Misunderstood, falsely accused, yet he remained true. And so it's interesting to note tonight that in this 13th chapter, we get a little insight into Jeremiah's character. And if you have your Bibles there with you, you'll notice that in that 13th chapter, how quickly obedient Jeremiah was to God's word. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get a linen girdle. And so he says, I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord. And then the word of the Lord came the second time, told him what to do. And he says, so I went and hid it by Euphrates as the Lord commanded me. And then how God told him to go back and get that girdle from the place where he'd hidden it and come back and he'd speak to him further. And then this is what the Lord said through this prophet. After this manner, he said, will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem? And he said, this evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their hearts and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle which is good for nothing. And in that chapter, you find this, that God was going to bring the proud and the haughty and the mighty down low. He said in the 15th verse, hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken it. And then dropping right down, he says, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principalities shall come down, even the crown of your glory. And God was speaking through Jeremiah to the proud people Israel in Palestine. There they were, from all outward appearances, high and mighty. Nothing could bother them. Nothing could trouble them, seemingly. And yet God said that they would be brought down low. And then, it's strange how this verse, the 23rd verse, is interjected right here with that background. It says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leper his spots? I must say, O house of Israel, when and if the Ethiopian can change his skin and the leper his spots, then haughty Israel can go against my word and stand against what I have spoken. Now that's the thought. And Jeremiah, as much as said to them, when the Ethiopian can change his skin and the leper his spots, then you can kick against God's word and be disobedient and stand up against God's word. And God has spoken. And we find in the remaining chapters and from secular history how God did bring Israel down to their knees. Oh, listen to me. God's word is forever settled in heaven. Heaven and earth may pass away, but his word will never pass away. And God said, though it's impossible for the Ethiopian to change his skin, it's impossible for man to stand up against God's word. Now, Jeremiah the weeping prophet had a friend who was a black man, an Ethiopian. And this Ethiopian had a great and tender concern for Jeremiah when Jeremiah was shut up in the miry prison. And so this Ethiopian even went so far as to take ropes and cover them with rags that they might not cut the poor prophet's armpits when Jeremiah was drawn up out of the filthy well in which he had been cast for truth's sake.
And these two, Jeremiah and the Ethiopian, were great and close friends. And so it was natural for Jeremiah to use this Ethiopian friend as an emblem, a background to give forth a scriptural teaching. And may I say that one of the great underlying principles of good Bible teaching is to lead the people from the known to the unknown, from the natural to the supernatural. And so, with that background tonight, I'm going to ask you some questions, and we're going to see something regarding this verse in reference to those who are sinful and sinning and are by nature children of wrath and by nature children of disobedience. Now notice, the text contains a question which admits of only one answer. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? This man whose skin was jet black, can he change his skin? Why, of course he cannot. And so the fact suggests to us a spiritual question. Can a man who is accustomed to do evil, a sinner by nature, so change himself as to do good? Of course he cannot. Now, as you're seated there by your radio tonight, I want you to see the impossibility, the utter impossibility of you yourself pulling yourself up one fraction of an inch towards spiritual things, pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. Now, notice. No more the Ethiopian couldn't change his skin, and so the sinner cannot in any way possible approach a holy God through his own effort. And so when we've talked over this question which admits of only one answer, we shall consider another question which admits of the opposite reply. That is to send comfort to those who are despairing and who know that they can no more change their own nature than the Ethiopian can change his skin or the leper his spots. First of all, we shall consider a question which admits of only one answer. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Well, let me ask you this. First of all, no one ever heard of such a thing being done. Now, many wonderful things have occurred in the realm of the physical, but no one has ever yet heard of a black-skinned man who's been able to wash himself white. There are many things which man can do. In these days of beauty salons and beauty parlors and so forth, they can change the contour of the face, they can lift the face, they can straighten the nose, and they can rearrange the outline of the ears, and they can beautify the hands. And yes, it's possible through the use of certain medicines whereby a white man can be made almost as black as far as his skin is concerned, and though you can put the color in, you can't take it out. A white man may sit in the sun and become tanned almost black, but you cannot turn a black man white. You can make yourself filthy by sin, but you cannot make yourself spiritually clean, do what you will. Now remember that. There's an ease about going down. It doesn't take much effort for anyone to jump off a precipice, but when you stand at the bottom of a high cliff, can you leap to the top in one bound? No, never in a million years. Man can come down against his will, but he cannot even go up with his will. And you can do evil all too readily with both hands. Do it again and again. Not even become weary in it, but return to the right. Oh, there is the difficulty. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leper his spots? Listen to me, the Ethiopian can wash himself clean, but he cannot wash himself white. And I want to say to you tonight, O sinner, you can have a measure of outward cleanliness, respectability, put on a good front, a good outward appearance, and have the form of godliness, but you cannot wash yourself or cleanse yourself from the stain of sin's guilt and penalty. Remember, even if an Ethiopian could change his skin, that would be a far smaller difficulty than the one with which a sinner has to deal. For it's not his skin, but his heart, which has to be changed. And I've heard of some creatures, if they lose a limb, those limbs will grow again. Another will come into its place. But there is no creature living that could lose its heart and then grow another. And even if he grew another, it would be deceitful as far as the sinner is concerned, above all things, and desperately wicked. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? No. But if he could do so, could a sinner change his heart? That is the central point of the message tonight. And God's word says clearly and distinctively, ye must be born again. And when you are born again, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Well, let's set forth in some small measure the difficulty of this business. First of all, there's the difficulty because the evil that man has in his nature. Now, sin is not accident. Sin is inherent in a man's heart. You take a sheep, it's not the nature of a sheep to be in the mire, but to stay in the green pasture. And if it fall into the mire, it tries to get out and will stay away from the mire. But you take the swine, they love to go down in the mud, and while in it, delight in wallowing as long as there's any mire there. Somehow the swine will do everything in their power to get down to the mire. It's the nature of the animal. And so it is with us as far as sin is concerned. Now, the Ethiopian could wash himself clean, but the blackness of his iniquity or skin is a part of his Ethiopian nature. He cannot get rid of that. Leopard spots are not accidental. They have spots because he is a leopard. So sin is not accidental to human nature. It is part and parcel of ourselves. And we're told that by disobedience and unbelief, one man believed the lie over against the truth back in the Garden of Eden. And by one man's disobedient, sin entered into the world, and as a result, death. And tonight, as members of the federal head of Adam, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and it's the very part and parcel of our natural makeup to have sin inherit in us. Now, how can a man change his own nature? It cannot be done by man. And then, again, sinful man's will is perverted. A man will not cease to do evil and learn to do well. Why? Because he has no heart to do it. He's dead in trespasses and sin. A little child, seemingly almost from the day of its birth, is more susceptible and ready to do that which is wrong than to do that which is right. It's inherent in a man. Then there's the difficulty, the power of habit. Evil habits can become such a powerful force. Those habits begin first like a little cobweb. He can break off drinking, for example, when he pleases, and say he's strong. He can do it because he has the willpower to do it. Well, watch out. That habit grows into a thread, and he's somewhat restrained by it. And then that habit changes to a cord, and he's in a net. And then it hardens into iron, and the iron becomes further hardened into steel. And the man finally is without hope, without Christ, without God, a wreck upon the tide of humanity, in a cage of his own working, with no possible escape. And I'll tell you, how can that man ever come back to God and change his own nature? But thank God tonight for the wonderful fact of the gospel, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And the moment that you believe, Jesus breaks every fetter. And so, I could go on tonight. There's the fact, the difficulty of the force of sin, how it increases upon men. If a stone is let fall from a tower, it multiplies the pace of its fall in a mathematical ratio, drops much faster the last part of its descent than it did at the first. And so, Paul expresses this in the 7th chapter of Romans. Oh, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. And finally, after searching through the whole realm for help in the realm of the natural, he says in these words, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And sin grows from a pygmy to a giant. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? No, he cannot. Never in 1,000,000,000 years. And that's the point that Jeremiah is driving at. You can't go against
thus saith the Lord. That is, when God speaks, it's settled. And when he says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, it includes everyone. And when he says that the natural man is without hope, without Christ, without God, you shall die in your sins, and whither I go, Christ said, ye cannot come. And that's God's word. But there's a change. And I want to bring out this side of it tonight in the few closing remaining moments of this broadcast on the old-fashioned revival hour. Oh, how you used to attend church once upon a time. And now the day that is set apart for worship is to set apart for amusement, deserting the house of the Lord. How sometimes in the days of sickness in your home you prayed, but not now. How sometimes you listened to your wife, now you turn a deaf ear. How you've neglected the Bible. Even a gray-haired father tries to block you from your sin and check you from a long fall into outward darkness. And I've known hundreds of saintly mothers try and beg and implore and plead to keep their sons and daughters from going into a headlong into a place of destruction. Oh, listen to me. There is a chance for you to come back tonight, and that chance is this. I'm going to ask another question, and that question is this. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? No, but this. Can the Ethiopian's skin be changed? And the answer is yes. Can the sinner's nature be changed and become a new creation in Christ Jesus? Yes. 1,000 times, yes. God can do all things. Nothing is impossible with God. He changed the darkness back there centuries ago into light. When, after the original creation, the earth became void and without form and darkness. And God said, let there be light. And then we have the 6 days of restoration. God can bring order out of chaos. And the entrance of his word giveth light. And my friend, tonight you may be on the precipice of despair, on the verge of a suicide's grave. Perhaps you're saying your sins are mounting up as high as the mountains towards the sky. There's hope for you because your nature can be changed. And when I stop and read the Gospel of John and see in that marvelous book how one day at the wedding of the Cana of Galilee, when the 6 pots of water were filled to the brim, suddenly without any seemingly outward move, that water was changed to wine. And then a daughter of one of the rulers of Israel was at death's door. And the father came to Jesus and said, my daughter is dead, is dying. And he said, go thy way, she'll live. And then one day, walking by the pool of Bethsaida, seeing that pool surrounded by impotent folks, men and women who are not able to walk, the lame, the halt, and the blind, he said to the impotent man, desirest thou to be whole? He said, yes. He said, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. Oh, listen to me. There were 5,000 out on the hillside one day, and all that the food that they could see from the natural was what a little lad had, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And one disciple said to Christ, what can these avail among so many? And so the Lord took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he blessed the bread and he broke it. And as the disciples went about, all the 5,000 were fed and 12 baskets remaining. Nothing impossible with God. The Ethiopian skin can be changed. And then as I see another scene in the Gospel of John, Mary and Martha standing at the tomb with their friend at the tomb of Lazarus. And he'd been there 4 days, already dead. And no hope from a human standpoint. And yet he said, roll away the stone. And he cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. And tonight he's speaking to you, come forth. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? No. Can the Ethiopian skin be changed? Yes. Let's bow our head in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the miracle-working power of the gospel, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And we pray that men and women may come to the end of their own resources tonight. Many have been trying by their own power and strength and willpower, through resolutions to walk with Thee, but of no avail. And may they come to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who has all power and all mighty power. And may they come to Him who is the only foundation and the only name given among men whereby men can be saved. And may men and women be cut away from false foundations and come to Thee alone and have the miracle of miracles performed, a new creation in Christ Jesus. For we ask it in His name and for His sake. Amen. As you're seated there by your radio tonight, I just trust that the truth of this message, the utter impossibility of by your own effort to become a member of the body of Christ, to become saved. For God says that the natural man is dead in trespasses and sin, and when a thing is dead, it's dead, without hope, without strength. God tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and while we didn't have any strength, Christ went to the cross for us. And now it's His power and His alone that can make us new creations in Christ Jesus. And God's Word says very clearly, except a man be born again, he cannot see, let alone enter into the kingdom of God. And tonight, won't you come just as you are, just as I am, the verses say, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for Thee. And won't you come tonight and just open your heart and say, Lord, come in. And just come in to stay and pray the penitent's prayer. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Christ's sake. I trust that many of you tonight will do that. Write us that we may pray for you. And so, under great difficulty tonight, we have broadcast the old-fashioned revival hour. This is a critical week in our history, and we just pray that every one of you may do your part tonight. But best of all, may there be hundreds of you come to a saving knowledge of Christ. For we ask it in His name and for His sake. Amen. And so we bid you good night on this, the old-fashioned revival hour. Next Sunday night, Lord willing, we hope to go out over 152 outlets. Good night. God bless you.